Hello and welcome back to the Aspiration Athletics Podcast, guest cast edition, where I speak with individuals who are living life with intention, normalizing being abnormal when it comes to their drive and their respective pursuits. As usual, I'm your host, Devin Burnison, and I'm joined with a good friend of mine and a guest that I was really excited to bring on. It's been a while since we've connected, my good friend, Jeff Jones. How are we doing today, Jeff?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. So go ahead and give us a brief introduction, who you are, where you're from, just kind of, you know, give us a summarization of who Jeff is.
Yeah, 100%. So if you don't know, I'm Jeff Jones from Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I, me and Devin, actually, we connected back in high school when we wrestled together. But mainly what I do right now, I go to school right now in University of Toledo for visual arts and web development. And I also am into fitness, so I have a YouTube channel and fitness Instagram as well.
Talk to me about what brought you to this point where you're getting into fitness and you're starting to discover what it's like.
So I'm going to rewind that a little bit. So my freshman year, you know, now mind you, I feel like I didn't even reach my climax in wrestling. So I kind of just cut short, you know what I'm saying? I just closed the book, which was kind of, it was very abrupt and it was kind of an awkward transition because my entire life, you know what I'm saying? This is something, you know, summer, spring, fall, winter, you know, I was doing this thing. Mm-hmm. I get to college and it's just
year round,
nothing. And I'm like, okay, so what do I do now? You know? And eventually, man, I kind of went down this dark hole, man. I kind of just went down this spiral staircase, you know, and ended up getting depressed and, you know, stuff like that. And just because, you know, I was like, all right, it's kind of like a lack of purpose thing, man. I think that's what I kind of look at it as. Eventually, you know, seeing my roommate, you know, Sadek, he was going to the gym every single day, you know, he was eating. And I was like, damn, this dude's getting shredded. I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. So he was like, you should come with me one time. He was like, all right. So we went to the rec and we got a good lift in. I'm like, all right, got my first pump. And I'm like, oh man, this is it. And I tried to stick with it. I stuck for like a few months and started seeing like a little bit of results. And then I forgot what happened after that. Kind of just, I didn't really stick with it like that. So another year goes by, right? I'm working out here and there, you know, push-ups, that type of thing. I think I had like a pull-up bar that goes over your door and I was messing with that. But I think the turning point for me with fitness was I was watching this video. Now, have you seen Creed, right? Like Creed, Michael B. Jordan. All right. So it was this video. Yep. It was how Michael B. Jordan transformed his body for Creed 2. And now in Creed 2, he was super jacked. This dude was yoked. And I watched that video, and his trainer was, have you heard of Corey Kaye? Like that celebrity trainer? Okay, I'll shoot you his Instagram profile. But he's like a celebrity personal trainer. Super jacked, you know, he's a great dude. Okay. And he was just showing the workouts that he's putting Michael B. Jordan through. And I was like, oh, man, this is super dope. You know, just watching, you know, his transformation, you know, just turning his body into almost like a work of art. And I'm like, wow, you know, and I was like, okay, this is definitely attainable. So I think after that, I was just hitting the gym, man, like every single day. And I think I was hitting it like twice, you know, twice a day at some point, you know, I was really going crazy. Yeah. And, you know, eventually, you know, I just built a lifestyle out of it. You know, I got hooked, you know, and yeah, man, I've been going ever since. So that's how that.
So it started as something that you it sounds like you enjoyed, you know, kind of all of it at first, and you may have kind of had this ebb and flow relationship with it. What was it that, like, what drove you to continue? Because it sounds like you kind of fell off for a minute and got back on the train. So what kind of drove you to get back to that point?
I don't know, what man. I'm just calling. Just wanting to improve, you know what I'm saying? Just having that mindset of just wanting to, you know, just be the best version of yourself. I think that's ultimately what it led down to. And I think that's what I kind of just, you know, because I was kind of just, I was falling off, you know. I was like, all right, so I need something. I was like, I need something in my life to spice it up and, you know, better myself. And it was fitness, you know. And at the time, I was, I think fitness kind of helped me become into the person I am now, you know what I'm saying? It's gave me a lot of confidence within myself, you know. Just helping you. It's just something about just pushing up some heavy ass weight, man. That just really, that really just does a lot for you. And I think that's what helped out. So.
Well, and that's what's interesting to me is your training is a bit unorthodox from what people usually get into. I remember when I first started getting serious about lifting weights, and this is kind of the direction most people go, is they start with barbell and they kind of get into powerlifting, and then somewhere along the lines kind of start to dive into bodybuilding. Your journey was a little different.
So I remember I was first going to the gym, man. I was just the arms, man, just like every day. It was just like arms and chest. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was just arms and chest. That's all I did. Cause it was just lack of knowledge at the time, you know what I'm saying? And, just doing bro splits and stuff like that. But, eventually, you know what I'm saying? I started to get, you know, do like a little bit more research, you know, and really dive deeper into this fitness thing. Because it goes down deep, man. So I just started to look into that, and eventually I kind of got into calisthenics. And, I think that was, something just about being able to control your own body weight was something that just really sparked, you know, like interest for me. I was like, okay, this is dope. You know what I'm saying? People are doing, you know, pull-ups with, you know, 45-pound plates, you know, attached to them, and, you know, doing weighted dips and weighted push-ups and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this is pretty sweet. And eventually, you know, I just kind of worked my way up, you know, to get to that point where, you know, I can do these things that people are doing. And, you know, it's just, I kind of just adapt this mindset of always wanting to, you know, just improve your training, improve, you know, what you can do and improve your abilities. And I still do bodybuilding, you know, I still definitely do workout with dumbbells and weights and stuff like that. You know, it's always never going to change, but I kind of just became a hybrid and kind of combined them a little bit and made it work.
Yeah, well, it's certainly working for you as far as your aesthetic physique goals go. And that, I guess that leads me to my next question here. Is there a pursuit that you're maybe prospectively looking at, getting involved in, maybe at a bodybuilding or physique competitor capacity? Maybe I know there's opportunities for calisthenics competitions. Is there anything like that that you may want to, you know, dust off the old competition gear and kind of get your mind oriented towards, or is this purely for recreation?
I'm just seeing where it leads me. I'm just going with the flow, man. Honestly, if I get to the point where in a few years where my physique is where, you know, it's able to compete, then hey, you know, I wouldn't shut that door. You know what I'm saying? I would definitely be interested in that, maybe. But I know a lot of work goes into competing, you know, just for the prep and bulking and cutting and stuff like that. I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't turn it away. I don't know, man. I'm just going with the flow. You know, it's fun for right now. You know, I'm meeting a lot of new people at the gym, and, you know, I'm just having fun with it. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just having fun. So.
Well, and you've been at this now in this kind of fitness pursuit for what,
about
a year?
2 years. 2019, yep. 2019, yep.
2 years. Yeah. You're still very early into this journey. And what I can tell you based off of what I see is that you have the potential to be good at any of those directions that you decide to dive into choose. I'm curious what your weight is now versus, you know, what I remember from wrestling. I mean, those are two conflicting sports. Yeah, you got one that's weight control, and the other that's like, all right, I'm going to push that pace of accumulating mass and then cutting fat. So talk to me about your weight right
now. So right now I'm sitting at like 176-ish, 175-ish right now.
You guys, this guy was 119 pounds.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy. That's awesome. I'm just bulking up right now, though, if I'm being honest with you. I'm just trying to put on as much mass as I can. But not too fast, though. You know, that thing, it goes. But I'm lean bulking. You know, I hate that concept of dirty bulking, man, if I'm being honest with you, where these dudes just...
That's not it, dude. It's lazy.
You know, I think that's what it is. You know,
it is.
Just eating cheeseburgers and, you know, stuff like that all the time. You know, like, why, you know?
It's the CT Fletcher mindset that there's plenty of information and resources now that conflict all of the arguments that are for dirty bulking. So talk to me a little bit about what you're eating, man. What's your diet, nutritional breakdown? Yeah. What is your philosophy?
Diet is the most important thing of fitness, man. You can work out all you want. You can work out 7 days a week for 3 hours, you know, each day. But if you're eating like garbage, you're not going to see any results, right? And I think my philosophy is, food is fuel, man. You know, why would you put, you know, 83 in a Ferrari? You know what I'm saying? Why would you put unleaded in a Ferrari? You know what I'm saying? You have to put in high quality food.
Yeah.
When you put in high quality food, you see high quality results. Your body will react. You know what I'm saying? Your body will put out what you put in. And
Amen. If you're confused, folks, play that back, listen to it over and over, drill it in your head.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think too often people already, you know, they're either bought into some influencers that aren't giving really solid information, or the circumstances are different where everybody's coming from, but ultimately the truth of the matter is what Jeff is saying is that it revolves around your intake and your diet, and that's going to produce the results that you're looking for. Well, and you've certainly come a long way, Jeff. So, Jeff, we've had a pretty detailed conversation about the last few years of your life, and you know, I got to tell you, man, it would be a shame to not recount this past year for you. 2020 was a hard year for 100%. Everybody in this country, everybody in the world. Talk to me a little bit about what the coronavirus has impacted you.
A blessing in disguise, you know what I'm saying? It kind of allowed, you know, people to slow down. It allowed people to pull back on that lens and, you know, and view things from a much bigger, further back perspective, you know what I'm saying? I think that's, you know, just because we all had the time at home, you know, and I think that's kind of the one of the biggest things that helped me was just, you know, I had time to reflect and to look at my training and look at where I wanted to take it, you know, and it wasn't just for training too, you know what I'm saying? I had time to, you know, focus on, you know, business models that I was thinking about, or you know, it just gave me that time that I had to really act on these things and, you know, just really just have some time, you know, just to look back and, you know, just plan. And I think that's what I was just doing, kind of just plotting and planning for the most of the time, kind of just staying like a little bit low key. But ultimately, it helped out, man. I just say it was a blessing in disguise, even.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, man. Actually, you know, I always, cause I've asked a few different guests about, you know, how they've handled COVID, and I hear thematically across the board that people had the time to reflect on things that were important to them that they wouldn't have otherwise had the energy or the time to look into. Some people started their own businesses. There was a young lady that I had, a few months back on a podcast, who started her own podcast during the time in lockdown. So there's just the creative side that people were able to tap into that otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity.
Man,
we live in such a fast world. Everything's fast-paced. You don't have time to think. You don't have time to plan or prepare. So I think that that stillness, that stillness to allow you to think about what was important to you. How can you find a sense of purpose when you can't even go outside? You know, all of those things were really, really productive.
Yeah, and I think it was just kind of allow people to you know, be creative and, you know, went about certain approaches. Like I remember me and a few buddies, we actually – we went out to a field and, you know, we brought some weights and brought some barbells and stuff like that. And actually trained outside, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, normally that would kind of be like, all right, I don't really want to lift weights outside, you know what I'm saying, in the grass. But, you know, it just, that it was actually a little bit different. I actually liked it, you know what I'm saying? That was actually pretty dope. But, yeah, it just kind of allowed people to just have, you know, take some creative approaches to, you know, some of their endeavors. But, yeah, it was dope. What about you, man? Would you, how'd that help you?
Well, as for me, man, like I pointed out, you know, it was something I was terrified of. We were just coming back from a fitness convention that you know we do some like conferences and stuff, and it was in Alexandria, Virginia, and we ended up coming back on that Sunday. And this was when the first case was reported in the U.S.
Man,
and it was downhill from there, dude. I mean, we have a business that we're running, that we were fearful we'd have to close down forever. And it was a point where there was a lot of gut checking, and, I gotta tell you, man, I sacrificed everything to move out to Tennessee and start this with my partner. So to feel like we didn't even have a grip and control what the consequences were of COVID was terrifying. But much like you expressed, having that freedom to think, having that ability to be still and, you know, really break down your thoughts and feelings on the matter and act on them. Allowed us to pivot appropriately to continue our business and even come out on the other side. So I'm extremely thankful for that time, and I'll never forget 100%. What it's done for me and my partner.
Yep.
So as we're closing out the show, man, I think it's absolutely important to talk about this because we don't have enough conversations in our society about this issue. And depending on who you're talking to and what political affiliation they hold, this can become a very one-sided conversation or maybe too much emotion involved, but it needs to be had. Talk to me about what it was like being a person of color, a young person of color, during a time when police brutality, again, disproportionately, seeing it myself, you know, it breaks my heart, man. You know, talk to me a little bit, about what your thoughts were.
Just kind of seeing that was, it was something that's kind of, racism's always been something that's been prevalent, and, you know, just kind of just seeing that firsthand. You know, it wasn't like a shell shock, but it was more so like, okay, like, oh shit. You know, this thing is like really real, you know what I'm saying? And I think the biggest thing, you know, for me was how these officers were able to, you know, get away with this thing, right? And I remember I was out there in the protest, man. I was taking pictures at the time. I think we haven't talked about this, but I actually do like a lot of photography work, but I was out there, man, just taking pictures and stuff, like really just documenting this thing, you know, and this is something that I'm always, you know, an experience I'm going to always look back, you know, and I think the reason why it was so explosive the way it was because the reason everyone was at home, right? And then this thing's happened. So it was like a ticking time bomb almost, you know what I'm saying? This thing was, It's like a pressure cooker, right? And ultimately, that's exactly what happened, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
And
absolutely.
it's pretty messed up, man. I think I was, just being a person of, like, a man of color, you know what I'm saying? I can definitely identify with that situation, you know what I'm saying? But it's definitely prevalent. It's definitely, it's really real out here. And, one of the things I would say that I'm actually proud to see was there was actually a lot of unity in the world, you know what I'm saying? Believe it or not. And I definitely do support that, and I definitely was seeing, just proud of that. So yeah, man, it's crazy out here, but it's something that's always been here, and unfortunately it's something that's never gonna go away, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? As much as people would like to think and fantasize that it will, but that's just not the case, But
Well, I totally understand the cynicism behind not seeing there ever being truly
100%.
racism and prejudice eliminated from our culture. But I
Yeah,
think the more
right.
we have
Exactly. They have to be had,
conversations
man.
like this
Yeah,
and be able to
conversations have
break
to be had.
down those barriers. And what I've been so sick of hearing is white people and anybody that isn't a person of color talk about how
Nah,
black
man.
people were
Nah.
supposed to feel and how they felt during this time.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from the horse's mouth. What were your feelings surrounding the George Floyd protests and the
Of
Black Lives
course,
Matter
yeah,
movement?
of course,
If you can
obviously I would say the
summarize.
same, just to say anger, but that's I don't think that would do it enough justice. It's more so disappointment, in our justice system, that it wasn't just George Floyd, it was hundreds and thousands of other people that, went undocumented, you know what I'm saying? Like Breonna Taylor and stuff like that. So
For sure.
yeah, man, it's a shame, bro, honestly. And actually, I really want to say I really respect you, for really bringing this up into your podcast, really trying to include that, you know what I'm saying? But
Oh, thanks,
yeah, man,
man.
it's real out
Yeah.
here. And I don't know, that's really all I can say with that, man. It's messed up, but
It is. It is. And
yeah,
I
it
know
is
it's
the ugly truth.
ugly, and it's the ugly truth. It's the, you know, t it, you're, it's
Yeah.
the ugliness behind the curtain
Yeah.
of what we deem
Yeah.
ourselves to be as to the rest of the world. And you know, I think for the first time, not the first time, but certainly throughout the last year, we've really been able to
Exactly, and kind of pull back that
start to
curtain.
take a look at our
Yeah.
ethics and morality. And
Exactly.
ethics and morality as a whole, as a country. And we're currently
Exactly.
divided
Yeah.
now
Yeah.
more than we've been
Yeah.
in the past since the Civil War. And I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the course of action is other than
Yeah.
to
I definitely would say there's been a lot
empathize,
more
love.
shed light on this situation, more times than ever, So I definitely would say that is definitely a step, in the right direction with, especially with this generation, I definitely say that, my generation at least, well, I think we are probably the same generation, like Gen Z, but I would say that our generation has definitely put a lot, into that movement, into, seeing justice, for people of color. So I definitely, that is something that I'm definitely proud to see, So I don't know, we'll see where this goes, in the coming of years. I'm sure there's definitely going to be, unfortunately, a lot more situations that will arise like this. So I'm interested to see how, people will react and how people will, go about, those things. So I don't know, man. It's
Well, I'm curious. You're at a point now where you're it's each one teach one, right? We move up along the ranks, just like you mentioned with wrestling. You learn
Exactly.
from us. We learn from somebody else. Now that you're in a point to shed light on these issues, what would you tell a young man, young woman of color, shedding light on this situation and how to be the change.
You know, man, I think, you know, the biggest thing I say is just use your voice, you know, use the things that, you know, God has given us, you know, especially like for me, you know, how I've just used my skills. You know, I'm not the most like public, you know, voice, you know, like person there is. And there's people that's like that, you know what I'm saying? But I've used my skills, you know what I'm saying? Like I would print like Black Lives Matter t-shirts or, you know, I would be taking pictures at protests. You know, you just have to really, you know, take your exactly.
Absolutely. You different forms really of expression.
Apply that to, you know, the situation, you know. You know, whatever whatever you can do, you know. So I think that's just the biggest thing is just to use your voice and, you know, like your figurative voice, you know, whatever you have been blessed with. So I think that's the biggest thing that I can really say, you know, to that.
Great piece of advice, Jeff. I want to thank you for joining the show, man. It's been a fun hour and a half.
Yeah, it
nearly
does.
Time gets away from you, man, when you're having a good time. So I thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, man. You're welcome anytime.
So my Instagram is JeffSOG. And then my YouTube would just be my name, which would be Jeff Jones. And I know it's very generic name, but you can also go to my Instagram bio and find my YouTube. And that's where I'm at. So I thank you for having me on the show, man. And I definitely look forward to seeing, you know, where you take this thing and, you know, all the next guests that you have on the show. So I give you my blessing, man.
Appreciate it, brother. Well, thank you again for joining. And folks, we are running listener support. Matter of fact, we have gathered over 1,300 plays and listens, and I'm super, super proud to be a part of this journey. This started as just documenting my process and kind of my coming to age story of, you know, my voice and my truth and speaking on those things. And it evolved into bringing guests on like Jeff, who are passionate, who are driven, who are aspiring for more out of their life than the status quo. And again, our goal, my goal on this show is to shed light on those individuals that are normalizing being abnormal. And in a world where things are crazy, there's just unprecedented things happening every single day, it seems, it's so important to use your voice, as Jeff pointed out. And I am grateful to have the opportunity and platform to do just that. So thank you again, Jeff, for joining me on the show today. And I'm looking forward, man, to seeing more about your journey, seeing more on your content, and watching you grow, man. It's been a pleasure.